welcome to New York City. In a funky cheap hotel, she took my heart and she took my money. She wants to slip me a sleeping pill. She never drinks the water, makes you order French champagne. Once you've had a taste of her, you'll never be the same. This will make you go insane. Upside, inside out, living la vida loca. She'll push and pull you down, living la vida loca. Her lips are devil red, and her skin's the color of mocha. She will wear you out, living la vida loca. Living la vida loca. She's living la vida loca. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She'll make you live a crazy life, but she'll take away your pain like a bullet to your brain.
Come on!
Murray, I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are the Real Guys. This is Sign Radio, and this is the Real Show with two E's. The music you just heard was "Living La Vida Loca" by Ricky Martin from 1999. What was that year like, Corey?
Classic year.
Wow. We've got a packed show for you today for this special broadcast. As always, I'm accompanied by my co-host Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
Splendid.
Splendid indeed. So, for today, we have lined up, we have a review of the newest 2020 SpongeBob SquarePants film, Sponge on the Run, and a breakdown of the newest trailer for Godzilla vs. Kong. So, let's start off with breaking down that trailer. What do you think, Corey?
I think this can easily be summed up in a couple of words.
Right.
This can be summed up by just saying, "Big meaty monster slapping meat." That's how I'd break it down.
Big meaty monsters, big muscles,
yeah.
Chests.
Yeah.
Big meaty monsters slapping me.
Giant behemoths just punching each other.
That's what I want to see. But spoilers, obviously, for Godzilla 2, Kong Skull Island,
yes.
And potential spoilers for Godzilla vs. Kong. But yes. Yeah, let's get into it with big meaty monsters slapping me. Amazing.
I'm glad that one tickled you.
Yeah, it's the battle of the ages that make the 2020 election look like a game of patty cake. Let's do this. So it follows on from Godzilla 2, King of Monsters.
Yeah.
And obviously the first thing we get is like some sort of big explosion in some kind of mountain facility. And chaos is reaping the world. And the only thing that can stop it is a huge 20-foot gorilla fighting a huge 20-foot lizard man.
Yeah. Essentially, it's.
Yeah.
I always forget that Kong has now been made to the same size as Godzilla.
Yeah, First off, in this fight, who you got in this fight?
Okay, see, I think if you told me to pick without the film, I would say Godzilla, because he's massive, mm-hmm. He has like lasers and stuff. But
yeah.
If you told me who's winning in the film, I'd probably say Kong. I think Kong, film wise, would make for a better film winning.
Well, Kong can use weapons. Kong's got opposable thumbs.
Yes.
Kong can use weapons to fight. Kong is like smart. He's like an ape.
Exactly. He has brains.
He has the brains. He has the brains, but he also has like the fortitude. He has the stamina. Yes. Godzilla, he gives you one blast of an atomic breath and he's out. He needs to be like superpowered by like nukes and stuff. But anyway, following on from Godzilla 2, we've got Kyle Chandler and Millie Bobby Brown's characters from Godzilla 2. My question is, and first off, have you seen Godzilla 2?
I have, but it's been a while.
Right. I'm wondering, where did Charles Dance go? Charles Dance had characters in Godzilla 2. He had the head, he had Ghidorah's head in the credit scene.
Yes, he did.
He had the third head of Ghidorah that got sliced off. Where's that? Where's the Ghidorah head? Where
it'll make an appearance.
Ghidorah
probably.
2. I hope he does in some kind of thing. Where is Charles Dance? Where he at though? Where is Charles Dance? Anyway, there's disruptions in the world or something.
Yeah.
And Godzilla is attacking Monarch facilities in this trailer. He's hitting the facilities of Monarch, which is like this big company that's sort of dealing these huge titans and these huge kaiju and stuff like that. My thought is, obviously in this trailer, Godzilla seems a little bit underpowered.
I thought the same thing. I swear, you always see Kong hit Godzilla. Like, he gets a clean shot on Godzilla right to start and like...
punches him.
Yeah, exactly. Godzilla, I swear, never hits Kong in this trailer.
No, I don't think he does. What does he do? He shows up, he like hits those planes and hits those boats and stuff like that. He's like, he seems very sporadic. He's like,
moving
his arms around, crashing and bashing everything.
Yeah, there's the two shots of his laser breath, one which Kong kind of jumps out the way of, and one which like, so Kong has this axe, which on closer inspection is one of Godzilla's scales from his back.
Oh, really?
If you zoom in, it looks like one of his scales, which would explain why he's able to block Godzilla's breath. So he blocks that, and then it proceeds to then hit Godzilla in the face with an axe. So Godzilla,
it's a bit like Thor and Thanos.
Yeah, Godzilla isn't looking the strongest in this trailer.
No, he's not, and I wonder if there are theories for that. People are saying
there is.
Well, there's several working theories. Theory number one: there are two Godzillas.
Yes. Because I swear, there's like in every Godzilla film, there's always been two Godzillas.
Oh no! Sometimes there's only been one Godzilla. Well, especially in Toho's Godzillas, there have been two Godzillas. There is a Godzilla that is sort of smaller, a bit weaker, a bit younger Godzilla. Then there's big, massive Godzilla who is like the real Godzilla, or larger Godzilla. That is theory number one. Now, I don't want to get to theory number two yet, so we're not going to go to theory number two yet. But
I mean, if it is, it would make sense if it is here's a baby Godzilla, and that's the one that's attacking first. But and then here comes like big bad mama is gonna Mama crush Godzilla. Everyone.
But Warner Brothers have said that there will be a winner of the fight.
Yes.
There's not gonna be like a Martha situation.
This isn't Superman versus Batman.
No, this isn't Batman v Superman. Gotta save Martha. How do you say that name? You know, there's not gonna be a Martha situation going on. Just because their mums have the same name.
Yeah. There's a clear winner.
There'll be a winner, and it's probably going to be Kong.
Yes.
Kong is gonna defeat... Or maybe they're just showing us because they're trying to make Kong look powerful, but really Kong's only going to get those like a couple of decent shots, and Godzilla's just going to wipe the floor with it.
One of two things is probably going to happen. Because obviously Kong has the connection, when we see this on the trailer, with a young girl. She has like the totem of a monkey, of a Kong, that sort of thing. So either... Yeah. He's going to win because he has an emotional attachment to his younger female, or he's going to lose because he has attachment to his younger girl.
Yeah, and Godzilla's going to... Well, actually, Kong will seem like fighting like the Warbats and fighting like those big... With those big things with the big tails that look like what he fought in...
Yes, he swung one round to hit another one.
What are they called? Like the Skull Crawlers or something?
Something like that. I love the fact that they're bringing other like smaller creatures into it. I quite like that.
Yeah, yeah. But also, we're having a bit of an expanse on the Godzilla sort of monster mythos. Because we had Ghidorah and Mothra in the last film.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Rodan. I don't know what happened to Mothra and Rodan. Did they sort of stay around? I think they did.
Probably. They might make an appearance. Probably not.
We might get Mothra or Rodan in this film again. Just a little note. Spoilers for Godzilla 2, sorry. Do you know Ken Watanabe?
Yes.
Famous actor.
I believe
Ken Watanabe's character, Dr. Yashiro or something like that his name was. Ken Watanabe's character dies in Godzilla 2.
Yeah.
And yet, if you look at the IMDb for this film, he's credited.
It could be, flashbacks.
He's credited, but his name isn't given.
Oh.
So we don't know who he's playing, but it's logical that he's like a flashback or...
Yeah.
or he's playing like
a
the
twin
same character, the same character, but he's in a flashback or he's in like something like that.
Yeah.
But Ken Watanabe is credited, despite the fact that his character is dead.
Yes.
So that'll be nice to see him show up again. We have a few new characters that are joining us in the sort of monster. What's it called? The Monsterverse or something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah. Alexander Skarsgård and Rebecca Hall are showing up as new characters.
Well, yeah.
A guy who I really like, Lance Reddick, is going to show up. I'm a big fan of Lance Reddick from The Wire and other from John Wick.
Yes.
You know, other cool shows that he's been in and White House Down and stuff like that. I'm a big fan of Lance Reddick, you know, Lieutenant Daniels. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Was that his name in The Wire? I don't know.
I think so. Saying that, when you said that, all I got in my head was Forrest Gump, so...
Oh, no, that's his character. No, I think that's his name in The Wire, though, isn't it?
I think so, but all I got in my head...
He's Lieutenant Daniels.
All I got in my head was Lieutenant Dan.
All right, okay. No, that's Lance Reddick in The Wire. Anyway, we've got some new characters joining us for this one, and some old ones. I don't think people from Kong will show up, because Kong was, like, set in... after the Vietnam War, so...
Yeah, and I think this takes place more in the Godzilla universe.
Yeah. More chance of people from Godzilla showing up. But
yeah, exactly.
Are they in Tokyo for that big final fight?
I mean, I would assume so.
Because it looks like it is. There's big, bright buildings, you know, Godzilla's stomping around. Godzilla traditionally attacks Tokyo.
Yes.
So, do you know Godzilla actually means gorilla whale?
Oh.
Because the Gojira is a portmanteau of two Japanese words that mean gorilla whale.
Interesting. Gorilla whale versus
cool, actually,
gorilla.
Actually sort of, to describe what Godzilla is, he's a big gorilla whale.
But
he must fight the big monkey, though. He must fight the big King Kong monkey. He must fight it. Let them fight, as Ken Watanabe says. But we know they're going to team up anyway.
Yeah.
We know they're going to team up anyway. Yeah, sure, maybe there'll be a winner. Maybe, like, Godzilla will be like, you know what, Kong, you're all right. And Kong's going to go, yeah, you know what, you weren't too much. But, yeah, they've both got a team up. Godzilla's been flipping out. Godzilla's sensed a disturbance in the Force.
Yeah.
And he's got to destroy these monopolies or, like, start hurting people, start attacking cities again, right?
Yes.
But why?
Mm.
We're thinking, but why? We've sensed there's a disturbance. He knows something's up in the world. And it was said that in the last film that Godzilla will, like, if humanity's, like, stepping out of line, Godzilla's going to come back and sort them out, you know?
Yeah.
So why are they stepping out of line? Here's my theory.
Okay.
Mechagodzilla.
I mean, that's one of the... I've heard three theories in the Mecha universe. That's one of them. It's probably...
The Mechagodzilla.
It's one of the more plausible.
Yes. Well, no, I said there was two theories. I said there was... One theory is there's two Godzillas, another theory is it's Mechagodzilla.
No, but I mean, like, as far as, like, Mecha something goes, Mechagodzilla is the most likely, probably.
Mechagodzilla.
That's the other one, which could happen. We've seen him before. You mentioned the severed head, so it would make sense.
Severed heads could be used. It could have two robot heads and one
I've also seen people mention, and it's not called Mecha Kong. It exists. It's an actual thing that happened
robot
in one...
Robot King Kong.
In one of the older films, there is. I forgot what it's called. It's
I'm like, sorry, it's disregarding like, that theory entirely.
It's like Mechanicong or something.
Mechanicong.
It won't happen, but it'd be cool.
Like a character in Mario Kart.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to be fair.
Mechanicong.
Mechanicong probably isn't going to make an appearance, but I don't know out of Mecha King Ghidorah or Mecha Godzilla. I don't know which one I'd rather see.
I'm going to Mecha Godzilla. Do you know why?
Why?
There's two shots in this trailer.
There is.
One of them is after the start of the explosion of that sort of mountain facility, you can see there's people running down like subway stairs or something like that.
Yes.
There's people running downstairs, and if you look above them, there's like it's out of focus, but there is a huge sort of robotic Godzilla head.
But it was a huge metal thing with two like red glowing eyes.
Red glowing eyes and like yellow sort of LED lights on it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you can clearly tell that is a robot. You can clearly tell that it's supposed to be a Godzilla head. So
yes.
That's and argument number two. Is that there's a shot in this film where an actor's sort of giving a line, and behind him there's like a technical, there's like a screen of like schematics, and it says like charge full or something like that, or charge something, and it's talking about like tech schematics, and there's a picture of what looks like Mechagodzilla's body.
Yeah, I mean,
like a frame of a Godzilla.
But yeah, that's the thing, because the first one in the subway, I'm like, okay, right, but it looks like a robotic thing. It has red eyes, and I'm thinking, well, Godzilla hasn't got red eyes. Neither has Kong. However, small tidbit, one of the Funko Pops, which I never thought we'd be mentioning on a radio show, there is a Kong Funko Pop, and one of the Kong Funko Pops also has red eyes, which has people doing speculating all sorts. But
I was about to say a Konko Pop. a Funko Pop that has red a Kong that has red eyes.
Yes.
Right. Well, I'm going to parry that with there's been concept art that's sort of blurry.
Yeah.
That's been released. Yeah. One of them is a very very clearly Mechagodzilla.
Yes. Apparently, there's also a Mechagodzilla in the toy line as well.
Yes.
But this schematic, it could also literally just be a schematic for Godzilla. The text it might be a bit weird, but it could also just be that.
Right. Kong with red eyes. I imagine Kong just gets angry.
I mean, yeah, it could be. Yeah,
what if Kong just gets angry and Kong has like red eyes? Or what if like they try to nuke Kong or something?
What if he turns into Cyclops? Turns into Cyclops. There's red lasers.
Yeah, red
lasers. Out his eyes.
But no, I didn't notice the fact that he was using that axe was actually a Godzilla scale. That's pretty cool.
If that is the case, that's a very smart. Because I was like, when I saw it, I thought, well, how's an axe? Like an axe, which I assumed.
Like a wood axe. Godzilla, like, break that apart in 2 seconds.
Well, that's what I mean. I assumed he just got a tree and made an axe out of it. But if it is his scale, I'm like, okay, you know what, fair enough.
The plasma breath, is it?
But I mean, it's.
But it would absorb.
This is a trailer that I quite enjoy. I like it when there's just loads of questions asked and there's loads of little tidbits. And so, okay, well, it could be something. But it could be something else. It makes like logical sense for schematics. Okay. Make perfect
here's
sense.
Here's what I think, right? Mm-hmm. Godzilla's going nuts.
Yeah.
Okay? Godzilla's going nuts. Godzilla's freaking out. He's attacking all these places. And they're right, who can stop Godzilla?
Mm.
Kong. So they go to Skull Island. Kong's fighting those things.
Yep.
And Kong, they like, I don't know, use the girl to like restrain him or chain him up. There's that scene where he's like stuck on that like dock area. So they restrain Kong, they chain him up, and they're taking him on the boat. Godzilla knows Kong is like, because they say they're the last of their races, they're the last of their kind.
Yeah, they mentioned.
Which sort of eliminates the two Godzilla theory.
Yeah, well, they mentioned the fact that it was like, oh, there was like a great war going on, and these are the last two survivors or something.
Because if you watch Kong Skull Island,
yeah,
there's a post-credit scene that has the two main characters, played by Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson,
yes,
watching this these old photographs, and on the old photographs there are cave drawings of A, Godzilla,
yes,
Ghidorah, Rodan, and Kong.
I would also like to quickly point out a third theory that I just remembered is also a thing I've seen, which is where it's kind of a merging of the other two, where some people are saying that the first Godzilla in the trailer is Mechagodzilla wearing like a Godzilla suit, so it looks like Godzilla.
What, a Godzilla skin suit?
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. That's not a thing.
No, that seems really weird. Or maybe it's like, Kong's fighting Godzilla, and when Kong shoves his axe into Godzilla's face, right, it breaks off and he's got a metal face.
I mean, this relates to what we're going to talk about later. It reminds me of that one scene in SpongeBob where, like, Patrick turns up, and it's actually, it's a gorilla in a Patrick suit. That's all I'm going to be thinking
of.
He's got a zipper.
It's Mechagodzilla in a Godzilla suit.
Yeah, he's like, hold on a second, Kong, wait a minute, and just unzips himself, like, aha, here I am.
It was me, Mechagodzilla, all along. It's going to take a lot of explaining to legitimize massive robot Godzilla. I'd like to see them try and explain that. But it'll take even more to explain massive alien Godzilla. You know? But I love space Godzilla. So.
Yeah. I mean, trailer's good. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good film.
Let's actually bring it back. Just how can you watch this film? You've got at your local theatre, should be released. And also HBO Max, if you've got that.
Yes.
Are you aware that there was a rampant bidding war for this film?
I am. Actually, I was aware, yeah. Which makes sense.
Yes. Everyone was like, oh, I want to buy this film, I want to buy this film. And then there was a bit of controversy because Warner Brothers shelved out a massive amount of money to get it on HBO Max.
Mm.
And people who had worked on the film were a bit annoyed.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
So, like, oh, we worked on this film and you're giving out this massive amount of money
yeah.
to this streaming service. Well, I think A, it's going to get more people watching it.
Yep.
And B, if you want, we need big blockbusters like this to kickstart the film industry again.
Yeah, we do.
We need big blockbusters to get people in seats. And I'd go to the cinema for this film.
Alright, well, literally 100%. As soon as this film comes out, I am watching it, and I can guarantee me and you, whenever this film comes out, are going to be sat and we're going to be talking for another hour about the film.
Yeah, I'd love to review this. I'd love to review this film. I really, really would. I'd love to get a review out. It's March 26th, people, by the way. Since I've not said it so far,
see,
I
do there you go. Notes. There you go.
March 26th, not very far away.
It's not. Mark your dates for the Saturday after March 26th for the real show, yeah, doing a Godzilla talk.
You know what? I could probably make an occasion out of it. I could probably go and see it.
I'll just get a free trial of HBO Max and watch it on that.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
You know? Pay the whatever idea. It is to actually, you know, rent it or watch it. Because I presume they'll do that where, like, you have HBO Max and then you have to pay to watch it.
No. That's a bad idea. I hate it when Disney Plus did that. I was rolling. I was like, why? I bought this service. I paid £6 for this service. You're not going to give me the film for free? Come on. I'm not going to pay an extra £20 to watch your weird live-action Mulan reboot.
Yeah, but, you know, the companies need money. That's what we need, man.
Yeah, and speaking of that awful Mr. Krabs impression,
it's not bad. It's not bad.
Right, okay. Speaking of that not bad Mr. Krabs impression.
Thank you.
Let's go on and talk about Sponge on the Run. So, first off, why are we talking about this film?
Because we can. And it's you know, it's SpongeBob.
Yes, it came out 5th of November in 2020. Sponge on the Run, SpongeBob SquarePants. It's a sequel to the two before it, which is the SpongeBob movie and SpongeBob... Sponge Out of Water, is that it?
Mm.
Right. Well, I'll let you sort of go on first, and then I'll sort of drop in when I need to.
Yeah, so... I had somewhat... I'd have high hopes for this. I enjoyed the first one, the SpongeBob movie. I've not seen Sponge Out of Water. I enjoyed the first one. And immediately, as soon as I started the film, after the whole, like, credits of the companies and whatever...
By the way, that is the best Paramount logo I've ever seen.
Yes.
That was very cinematic. I was like, this should not be in front of a SpongeBob movie.
No,
it was very... You were, like, moving with the stars through, like, the ocean and the rivers, and, like,
yeah.
There was, like, trees by the side, there was a mountain in the distance, to think, oh, what could it be? What wondrous marvel is this? Paramount, oh, you know.
Exactly. But it starts off with this, like, I've called it fake David Attenborough, because it's essentially what it is.
It's Jacques Cousteau, isn't it? That's who they're parodying.
Well, yeah, but, like, it's just that, like, wildlife narrator voice where it's like, here we have the ocean, the coral reef, and then it goes into the water and you're seeing all these fish which look...
I like how we start off with sort of semi-realistic animated fish,
which, by the way, I love. I saw a lot of complaints or like people saying but they don't like how the film looks. I think this film looks great. I think it looks stunning. And then it says you see normal fish, right? You know, fish you would see in the coral reef. And then jellyfish pop up, and then bang, transition, there's Bikini Bottom. And for the first, like, 5 to 10 minutes of this film, I quite liked it. You have, like, Mr. Krabs, and he's counting money. You have, I'm trying to get the order correct. You have the Goofy Goober, and you have Patrick, who drops his ice cream. Then you have Sandy and the robot, who becomes more of a feature in this film than I thought would. And then you have Squidward, and then you have SpongeBob. And then you have the first part of the film that I laughed at somewhat genuinely, which is the Good Morning, Patrick, Good Morning, SpongeBob bit.
Oh, no, I didn't. If we're counting laughs, I didn't laugh at that.
I did, because it went on for, like, a while, and I thought, you know what, I don't mind this.
Okay, well, let me just mention that I'm incredibly... I agree with your animation. The new CGI style looks great. It was shelved out for this sort of big film budget. They can't do that all the time. I don't think it looks as good. The show's art style is very signature.
Yes.
And you can't really change much of it. But I like sort of modernized CGI style where you can sort of see much more than what the animation leaves out sometimes.
Yeah.
I thought it was sort of a blend of the animation of the show. And sometimes, you know, in the show where they do those hyper-realistic close-ups?
Yeah.
It's sort of a blend of that, and I like that, because you can have your cake and eat it as well. But They bring you to the sort of Jacques Cousteau-esque French narrator, nature documentary narrator, brings you to Bikini Bottom, and all the characters you love are there, and they've got the same voice actors, which I adore. Mwah! Chef's kiss, because I'm so happy they didn't shelve them out. They didn't get rid of them for some celebrities. I'm so happy about that. Yes, your celebrities do appear, like Awkwafina voices that robot, and there's some other celebrities that show up that we'll mention.
Yeah, we'll get on to it.
Yeah, we'll get on to them. But I'm so happy they got Tom Kenny and Roger Bumpus and everyone who comes back to do the voices, because not only is it in line with the sort of universe of the show, but also there's just a feeling of hearing those voices again.
Yeah, exactly.
Hearing the voice of Clancy Brown as Mr. Krabs, and you know, Mr. Lawrence as Plankton, and Caroline Lawrence as Sandy, and everyone, you know, it's just, it brings it back. It brings you back to that you know, good old SpongeBob feeling of hearing those voices, and I think that's perfect.
Yeah, and I mean, like the, like I said, the first like 5-10 minutes of this film,
it feels like the show. It feels like exactly like the show.
Yes, and it's also somewhat reminiscent of the SpongeBob movie, the first one, because it's like, okay, here we have this thing, and it's just normal, and it starts off, and then like, so the first couple minutes is the just kind of like, here's all the characters. We find out that the robot that Sandy made, she is trying to essentially sell to Mr. Krabs.
Yeah,
as just like. Yes, as this like automatic robot that can essentially do Mr. Krabs' job without him doing anything, and it's free, which he loves because he doesn't like wasting money. Immediately, the robot gets fired.
Yeah, well, the robot fires him.
Yes, and Mr. Krabs thinks he's joking, and anyway, the robot fires him. Plankton ends up getting it, and then we find out that like Gary is gone.
Gary, no, the guy's gone for a reason, because I've got a few notes here. First off, I like that the sound effects are the same.
Yep.
Like Squidward walking, that sort of weird, awkward suction cup noise he makes.
Yes.
Mr. Krabs and his like, like his little legs. That's the same. I love that. I love Karen. Karen is the best character in the entire movie, even if it's just a minor role. I think she's my favourite from the show. She's my favourite here. It's the talking computer face and her completely dry voice is just amazing.
It's definitely standout.
Yeah, that's great. I like Auto as well. For a new character, I think Auto really works.
Yes.
She's this robot. The fact she was made by Sandy. I had 4 laughs in this film.
Yeah.
My first laugh was at the fact that Auto keeps repeating the words, "you're fired," telling people they're fired, even when they're just doing nothing. Or they're just doing tasks that aren't related to them being fired or hired.
Yeah.
That's one of my laughs, especially when she starts the car. SpongeBob and Patrick get into the car she's driving, and she just randomly says, "You're fired."
Yep.
It's great. Anyway, I like that the Bikini Bottom sections at the start play out like an episode of the show, especially for the first like half an hour or so.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we go to Atlantis.
Yes.
Atlantic City is it called?
Yes.
And Poseidon is there. Now, Poseidon sort of looks the same as he did in the... Well, he's not got a beard. He looks the same.
This is my point. He's now gone through roughly, like, 3 different changes of appearance.
Yeah, I think because he's the same character, though, he's supposed to.
He is. So you have him in the show, where, like, he's flipping burgers, and he's this, like, big, sort of strong, muscly, like, merman with a massive beard and long hair. Is that Jason Momoa, but a merman, essentially?
Green merman.
Yes, and then you have the first SpongeBob movie, which is also why it's similar, because, again, they go to Atlantic City, where he's, like, bald and ginger and kind of fat. And then you have this one, where he's got the black hair back, but it's not as long. Doesn't have a beard, or does have a beard in this? I can't remember,
actually. He doesn't have a beard.
And, yeah, he's somewhat more slim. It's like, why do they keep changing his appearance? Just pick one.
Yeah, there are 3 Poseidons. There's Poseidon from the show, who is sort of more muscly and wearing that sort of big crown with the seashell on it and has the trident and everything. He
gets
that. Poseidon in the first movie has a bit more of a pronounced beard.
Yes.
And wears a bit more clothes, has a bit more clothes on. Still has his general body shape still looks the same. He's still a green mermaid.
Yeah, he's just bald.
He's just bald.
He's bald.
And this Poseidon is sort of sort of the same. He's still a green merman.
Yeah.
But you said he's got black hair instead of sort of ginger hair.
Mm.
And yeah, I think they're supposed to be the same character, though.
They are, I think. But it's changed.
I think they're supposed to be the same character. I don't think they're supposed to be different characters.
No.
But anyway. Also, I like how the designs of everyone else is sort of stuck the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, Poseidon's changed, but I think SpongeBob and Young SpongeBob and that whole sort of camp thing has sort of remained the same. Like, they are sort of... Those backstories are supposed to be legitimate.
Yeah.
They're canon, to use that word. But yeah, and then Poseidon is sort of using the sort of... he's using the... the goo, goo, or like the goo, the essence of the seashell, the sea snails, sorry.
Yes.
The essence of the sea snails to keep himself looking young and looking youthful.
Yeah. So, hence why Gary's there.
Yeah, he runs out of his sea snail, and his underling, his sort of clerk, carries out this plan to get another sea snail.
Yeah.
So Plankton uses it to coincide with this evil scheme to get rid of SpongeBob.
Yes.
Karen says that SpongeBob is the one that always messes up the plans. It's never Mr. Krabs.
Yes.
It's always SpongeBob and his sort of and his woeful ignorance.
Yeah, how a Plankton being dumb thinks it's Mr. Krabs, that's the problem.
Yes. So Plankton gets the Krabby Patty formula. Or tries to get the Krabby Patty formula.
Yeah.
But he's spoiled by SpongeBob.
Yes.
And again, so Plankton sees the message by the Poseidon's clerk and goes, right, okay, I'm going to steal Gary away.
Mm.
I can give Gary to Poseidon. That way, SpongeBob will go out looking for him.
Yeah.
And SpongeBob does.
He does.
First of all, there's a fire hydrant in the water. What is the need? No, there's a scene where SpongeBob is putting up posters of a lost Gary. And by the way, that number is real. And if you ring it, there's like an automatic SpongeBob message.
Nice.
I found that out. If you actually ring that number there on the poster, there is like an automatic SpongeBob message where SpongeBob answers it asking if you've seen Gary.
Nice.
But anyway, SpongeBob is putting posters around the town.
Yeah.
And there's like a fire hydrant. I'm like, why do you have a fire hydrant underwater? What is the need for that?
Listen, man, it's. But I mean, like the
you
grid.
Can't have fire underwater. There's no place for the fire to go.
Yes, but like the grid all blows up and that causes fire and stuff. It's
yeah.
Don't yeah.
Also, you can cry underwater. You can't cry underwater because you're full of water. It's a sponge. You should soak it up. Anyway, so they go out in the new car piloted by Auto, driven
yes.
by Auto. And they go to Atlantic City. And this is the first of many live-action segments of the show. First of many live-action segments of the film. There are some connections to the previous show
yes.
and to the films. Like the Krabby Patty mobile shows up. The magic conch shell shows up.
Yeah. That's what I like. Because it is very similar to the first movie where it's like, okay, we need to go to Atlantic. We have this, like, let's get a vehicle. Let's go have, like, a little road trippy sort of thing.
Mm.
I like the fact that the Krabby Patty mobile turns up, and that sort of thing. And then,
yeah,
yes,
it's upgraded. There's a bigger one.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a bit before the live action bit where Patrick's like, "Oh, this is like a buddy cop movie where we'll do this, and then we'll fall out and become friends again," which then happens in like the next 5 minutes.
It does happen. Yeah, it does actually happen,
which I quite enjoyed. And then, yeah, they get back in the car, which Auto keeps driving off, which I find quite amusing.
Yeah,
and then. The first part.
They go to like this sort of canyon.
Yeah,
like,
this is a part where I was like, "Oh, this film is."
We're near to my second laugh.
Yeah, this is a part where the film takes a turn.
It definitely takes a turn. And
hard
it's a
turn.
I really like this turn. It's a hard left turn straight into Keanu Reeves Avenue.
Yes,
baby, am I loving it?
Yeah, because he turns up.
Has Sage? He's just a head in a.
He's a tumbleweed.
A head of tumbleweed. He's
Which
magic. He's got.
Great.
He's wearing like hippie clothes. You can see he's wearing like hippie necklaces and like a robe
yeah.
and stuff. And it's just a head. It's just Keanu Reeves' head.
Yes. At this point, Auto was driven off as well. By the way,
yeah, Auto was driven off. Left them in this dream, which we're told isn't a dream, and then is a dream, and then is a dream, and then is a dream again.
Yes.
We don't know whether it is or not. Probably it was. But anyway, Keanu Reeves Sage shows up. But hold on. Keanu Reeves Sage shows up in the dream and then he shows up in the car afterwards.
Yeah, this is the thing. Yeah, because it is a dream and they're in a desert, a realistic desert, which is actual, you know.
Yeah, it's live action. It's live action
above,
desert.
It's above water desert as opposed to the below water deserts. Yeah, and he goes like, right, you guys have a challenge. Here's a courage token. The challenge is in these saloon doors, and then they proceed to just leave him.
Yeah, they do. No, he rolls off, doesn't he?
Well, no, they run in the doors, and he's like, "Oh, guys, I didn't tell you the challenge." And he goes, "Patience," and then he leaves.
Yeah, he leaves, and then they go into the saloon, which is one of my favorite parts of the film. My favorite part of the film. They go into the live action saloon, and by the way, I used to hate, especially in the other two films, I used to hate whenever it would be live action. Like, oh, come on, show me more of that animation.
Yeah.
But no, this bit was actually probably my favourite bit of the film. They go into the saloon, and there's these zombie pirates.
Yes, good old zombie pirates.
It's a joke he's made out of them, zombie pirates. Zombie pirates, they're sort of moving around, you know, jiggling and what like that. And then they just stop dancing.
Well, what ends up happening is... they get this. I think this happens before we dance. This like whole thing pops up where it's like, oh, it's El Diablo is coming.
Oh, Diablo, and it's which is a signature where theme song, which yes. Is the words "Very Bad Man,"
which I thought was hilarious because literally it's just the words "El Diablo" repeated like five times, and it just goes "Very Bad Man."
Yeah, and that is so funny. I think that was quite clear.
I thought it was great, and then yes,
just to tell you how bad he is, this song has to tell you that he's a very bad man.
And then yes, the zombies start dancing. Essentially, it's a boy band, and they just start dancing
start, like,
and singing,
popping and locking and dancing. Yeah. And like moving around, dancing on the bar, and there's someone sat at the bar, and the camera like zooms in epically towards this man. He turns around, and it's Snoop Dogg.
It's Mr. Just Eat himself. It's Snoop Dogg.
It is. It's Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Who starts rapping? Because of course he does.
Yeah, he starts. Oh, literally, Snoop Dogg will like rap for anything.
I do find it funny that like there's someone else who also turns up, which we'll get to in a minute. Yeah. I do find it funny, out of like three celebrity appearances in this short time frame when you were watching this film, you messaged me. You didn't message me going, oh my god, Keanu Reeves, or the next guy. You messaged me going, oh, Snoop Dogg's in it. Like, that's the one person that shocked you was in this film.
No, okay, here's my second laugh, because I didn't, out of everyone to show up in this film, I didn't expect, like, I'd watched no trailers, I had no idea anyone was in this film. So I was quite surprised. I was like, I knew like maybe the voice cast had come back or whatever.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised that these three people who we're going to mention, two of which we already have, were in this film. First of all, it was Keanu. Like,
yes.
Oh, right, okay, that's cool. I think Keanu's in this film. He's a good actor. And I didn't expect Snoop Dogg. No one out in the world.
No.
Snoop Dogg to turn around and just start rapping. And...
I expected someone, because again, in the first film, you have Hasselhoff.
Yeah, they do have Hasselhoff.
Who makes an appearance. Which makes sense. Hasselhoff makes sense. Reeves and Snoop Dogg do not make sense. However, I still somewhat enjoy them being in the film.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg, literally, you can pay Snoop Dogg $5 and he'll start rapping for you.
Yeah.
He's appearing in everything at the minute.
Again,
he's the voice of Just Eat here in the UK.
Yes. I love that advert so much.
Yeah. He's also, sometimes he shows up in, like, pro wrestling promotions and stuff like that as well. He was in AEW a few weeks ago. So, yeah, he loves just showing up and rapping in places. He rap for anything. He'll rap for food. He'll rap for Sasha Banks. He'll rap for SpongeBob SquarePants. He'll rap for anyone. Anyway, I think Snoop Dogg's got to that sort of bit in his career where he just doesn't mind now.
No, he just does whatever.
He just does whatever he wants. And whatever. More power to him. More power to you, Snoop. Anyway, Snoop does a little rap verse and then sort of goes, off he goes.
Yep.
And then El Diablo, very bad man.
Here he is.
He comes in, and it's Danny Trejo.
Good old Danny Trejo.
Good old Danny Trejo. He's so cool. Danny Trejo shows up as El Diablo, very bad man.
Very bad man.
And, yes, El Diablo, very bad man. He shows up, and he's like really awesome. He can do anything, Danny Trejo.
He can. He's literally
so intense. He's so powerful. He's so like, what are you doing? Oh, dancing.
Yeah, and then it was like Dance Break Friday or something, which is why they're allowed to dance.
Yeah,
SpongeBob and Patrick end up getting kidnapped, essentially.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, bring the prisoners to my office, and then they drop a cage on SpongeBob, and then it's the whole thing of like, he tells them it's not a dream.
You've got laser vision.
Yes, they're supposed to, also, we should probably explain this, they're supposed to free the zombie pirates. That's their challenge that they're
upset. Yeah, from El Diablo, a very bad man. From his curse, because he is, he's an evil, he's a very bad man.
He's a very bad man.
You have to stop him.
He's
machete, you should be, he is machete.
So they end up in his office, and then, yeah, he uses laser eyes to break the cage open, telling him it's not a dream. And then they try to use the courage token. They hold it up, which does nothing.
Yeah.
Of course it doesn't. And then they... I say discover, but they don't discover it. They accidentally defeat the very bad man by using a curtain.
Yeah, they do. It's a curtain. They stop him. He goes out the curtain and he gets burned away.
Yeah, they open the curtains and, like, you can hear him in pain, and they think it's the, like, curtain bar that needs oiling. We just keep opening the curtains, and then he just turns into ash.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
So, then they free all the zombie pirates from El Diablo, Very Bad Man.
Yep, they get freed.
I know it's, like, a minor role, but I still have seen Danny Trejo in anything.
Yeah.
He's just so cool, and so, hard to believe he's 76.
I know, right?
He's still rocking it, he's amazing. Anyway, they escape from El Diablo, Very Bad Man, and they head on to Atlantic City. Now, we get a few cutaways to Bikini Bottom, where Mr. Krabs is sort of down his luck. The SpongeBob isn't here. He can't cook the Krabby Patties. He can't help with the business, and Squidward isn't going to do it. By the way, Squidward is sort of like the unsung hero of this film.
Squidward tries to do it, and then the griddle blows up, so he can't do it.
Because he doesn't do the magic sequence of events where you, like, sing it a song and you, like, do a dance and then it works or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to read it like a story, don't you? If you read it a story, then you have to, like, turn the knob or turn the dials to a precise thing, and then it works.
It's turn it on, wiggle the gas, and then you read it the young griddle that could.
Nice.
And then Squidward gets, like, four words in. He goes, "There once was a young griddle," and it just blows up and flies in the sky.
Excellent. Which SpongeBob thinks do often do.
Yes.
To blow up and fly in the sky.
Including SpongeBob himself, who cries and flies in the sky.
Yeah. The one thing that I would have loved is, was there an owl my leg in this film?
I don't recall.
Because that is a running joke in SpongeBob.
It was. I love
owl
that.
Owl my leg!
My leg in the background. It's great.
Yeah. I don't think that my leg guy was in this film.
Don't think
I know the
was.
Old woman was. The old woman with, like, the glasses.
Yeah.
She was in this film. And so was the big sort of guy, the big guy. Was the lobster? Was, like, Ricky the lobster in this? I don't know who he was.
Don't think so. No.
The newscaster was in this film. His name was, like, Peter Perkins, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
He's voiced by Dee Bradley Baker, who I know from Star Wars: The Clone Wars.
Yeah.
But, who also voices Gary, I think, as well. Anyway, they drive to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And Sayid shows them this mirror to see what's happening to Gary.
Yep.
He shows them the mirror, and they're, like, horrified that Gary's being used as this guy's, like, shaving cream or whatever.
Yeah.
Poseidon's rubbing him on his face. He's like, "Oh no, we've got to save Gary." So they fly to that. They fly. They drive to Atlantic City, and they barely fly. They're driving very fast. They fly to Atlantic City, and Sage Keanu Reeves warns them to not get involved in the glitz and glamour of underwater Vegas.
Yeah.
And what they do is they get involved in the glitz and glamour of underwater Vegas.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, here's my third laugh of the film.
Okay.
My third laugh is when they're at the table, they're at the gambling table.
Yeah.
And it was sort of an existential laugh. They're at the gambling table, SpongeBob's winning loads of money, and all these fish come around him, and SpongeBob goes, like, "Who are you guys?" And they go, we're your entourage. And I laughed at that. Purely because even in real life, when you're at these tables and you're making loads of money, people are just near you in hopes that, like, they can get money off you or something like that. And it was sort of a depressing real life laugh, but it was a laugh.
Mm.
And so they overdose on sugar and eat all this candy and stuff like that, and fly around on roller coasters and everything, and they get and they get drunk and blackout and whatever.
Mm.
But whether they land in front of Poseidon's like palace, which is like a hotel, which I thought was fun.
Yeah.
So they go out and they go in there to try and find Gary. And meanwhile, Mr. Krabs gives up the Krabby Patty secret formula to Plankton.
Yeah, just hands
Plankton
over.
He shows honour in not wanting it through these means. He says, "Oh, you're defeated. I must defeat you."
Yeah.
Which I think is fun. I must defeat him. You can't be defeated by these circumstances. We must go and help. I like how he begrudgingly helps this way.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he can't have a clean victory. He wants a clean victory over Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
He doesn't want a dirty victory. Which is a nice spin on their sort of rivalry they have. And they team up with Sandy and they use the Krabby Patty mobile to go to Atlantic City. I've talked for a while, I'm gonna let you speak.
I didn't have the biggest hopes of this, but I actually thought it was quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not mistaken, so yeah, they go, film kind of, it wraps up with Poseidon confronts SpongeBob and Patrick.
SpongeBob and Patrick pretend to be these entertainers.
Yeah.
But then they get captured and they're sentenced to execution, which is sort of a live event.
Which then they're not sentenced to because Poseidon finds them amusing or something.
Yeah, yeah. And they're sentenced to some kind of they're sentenced to die, but then they aren't. They're sentenced to have a weird talent show. And then all the team show up. Mr. Krabs and Sandy and Plankton and Squidward all show up. And this is where my fourth laugh happened.
Okay.
When my fourth and final laugh of the film happened when SpongeBob was describing the festivities at his summer camp.
Yeah.
They have a flashback to where all of them were at camp together.
Yeah.
Squidward, SpongeBob, Patrick Star, and Sandy.
Mm.
You all have a flashback to that. And SpongeBob is describing the activities. It's going, jellyfish catching, boat riding or whatever. And he goes, whale watching. And there's just a crowd of people just watching a whale. Just staring at it. Just staring at this whale that's just sitting there. And the whale kind of goes, what are you guys all looking at? And I just burst out laughing. Because I love when something is so obviously what that thing is, that it's funny. Yes, well, it's literally just people staring at a whale. They're all in a big huddle, or they're just looking at it. And I just love that. And the whale's not doing anything. The whale's just sitting there. It's like, what are you guys all looking at? I thought that was funny. I laughed at that. But Poseidon allows them to escape after this impassioned speech by all the members of the team.
Yeah.
But then he says, "But you must give me the sea snail. You must give me Gary." And by the way, Poseidon is voiced by the same guy that did the dolphin in the last SpongeBob film.
Yeah.
I know you didn't watch that, but there's a sort of a dolphin character, and it's voiced by the same person that does Poseidon in this film.
Yeah.
But anyway, Poseidon comes out. Poseidon's like, "Well, you got to give me Gary because I don't have any friends. You know, he's lonely."
Mm.
And SpongeBob's like, "Oh well, I'll be your friend." And then what I would have loved is when SpongeBob is giving his speech about how you should always be yourself, and Poseidon goes, "You're right," and he takes off everything that he's sort of wearing. He's wearing like, you know, plastics. He's got plastic surgery, and he's wearing all these sort of bits of armor and that sort of thing. And he's really fat, and he's got like a massive chin and that sort of thing. But I would have loved my bold joke to come. His bold joke to come back when he takes off his wig and he's bald. I would also be like, "He's bald! Ah, my eyes!"
I was expecting that.
Bald! Yes. I would have loved that. That would have been a perfect thing. But they don't do it.
No.
And then it wraps up with them like going back to Bikini Bottom and the equilibrium is re-established. Everything is sort of set back.
Yeah.
And it's a nice little adventure of a film.
Yeah.
To get back, originally it was going to be like a Wonderful Life parody, I think.
Hmm.
It was going to be called It's a Wonderful Sponge.
Right.
And then we're going to have a Wonderful Life parody where, like, SpongeBob is, like, dejected in his life and doesn't want to be there. And he's, like, showing what his life would be, what life would be like without him.
Yeah.
That's why the sequences of like, the Krabby Patty not having anyone to cook the patties. That's why there's sort of sequences that are like that, because it's sort of based off that sort of concept.
Mm.
But then it became like the Missing Gary concept, which SpongeBob has done quite a bit, but they seem to reinvent it, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your real rating for SpongeBob SquarePants Sponge on the Run?
I have given it a solid 6.
I've given it 5.
Nice.
Which is fine. I rate it lower than you. I think I rate it lower than you because it's a comedy.
Yeah.
But like four laughs is good enough.
Yeah.
I was like, there's some things that I saw possibility for more jokes there. Like, why does SpongeBob need 3 mattresses to sleep on? Is that ever explained?
I don't know.
Like the fire hydrant underwater thing, that would have been cool to see or whatever. If they took the top off and like nothing came out.
Yeah.
But it's all water anyway. That would have been funny. But yeah, 5-6 reels, that's okay. And for our weekly rec, moving on, it's my weekly rec.
It is indeed.
And my weekly rec is, can you guess what it is, Corey?
Is it somehow, is it SpongeBob related by any chance?
It is, it's actually an episode of SpongeBob.
Very nice.
It's an episode of the SpongeBob SquarePants animated series.
Okay,
and
yep.
And it is Club SpongeBob.
Okay.
If you don't know what Club SpongeBob is, Club SpongeBob is an episode of the 3rd season. I think it's episode 42, because I know they have massive episodes.
Yeah.
They have massive episode numbers. So, it is episode 42 of season 3, and it is where Squidward is brought into SpongeBob and Patrick's like little secret club they have. Club SpongeBob.
Yeah,
and Squidward sort of takes the mickey out of them, but SpongeBob says like, "Oh, you're not qualified to join our club. You have to go through the kelp forest with us." And Squidward goes with them, and they go into the kelp forest together, and he actually has to do loads of tasks. I guess to go into this tiny little box house that they've got. That they meet in this like cardboard box.
Yeah.
And they go to the kelp forest. So they get launched out of a tree, I think. They get launched out of a tree into the kelp forest.
Yes.
And this is where my favourite part of the episode comes in. The magic conch shell. Now you're familiar with this immediately when I say it.
I am familiar with the conch, yes.
The magic conch. which actually appears in this film for a second.
Yeah.
SpongeBob sort of knocks it over when he's searching for Gary and it falls on the floor. But the magic conch is actually... this is the episode that features the magic conch. The first episode. And I just love it. I just love everything about it. The way that they sort of respond to the magic conch saying... The magic conch says no all the time. He goes, no.
It's because it's like... I can't remember what is... Squidward keeps asking the same question. And I can't remember what the question is. But it just it's got a string. So he'll ask it and he'll pull a string and he goes, no. He'll ask it again, pull a string, no. And it just doesn't change.
Yeah. I think Squidward's asking if they're anything to eat, don't they?
Yes.
I've rewatched the episode.
No. He's asking if... I think he's asking specifically if he can have anything to eat.
Yeah, Squidward's is like... no. And Squidward's like starving to insanity.
Yeah, he just goes mad.
Because of this conch shell. Oh, the magic conch shell.
And
then it's revealed at the end that the sort of guy that saves them was also following the conch shell.
Yeah.
And they got to praise the magic conch shell. And then they like ask it like, how do we get out of the kelp forest? And it says like nothing or something like that.
Yeah.
So they do nothing and they just end up sitting there.
I mean, it's one of the more recognisable, one of the more classic episodes of SpongeBob.
And the conch shell does appear a couple more times, I think, in the series.
It does.
Just little cameo roles, and it appears in SpongeBob on the Run in sort of a visual cameo.
So I'm going to hazard a guess for it gets a higher rating than the film.
Yes. It gets 7 reels.
Okay. Okay, that's
fair. The episode Club SpongeBob gets 7 episodes. And you can go out and the whole series is on Netflix, so they've got the rights for SpongeBob, so you can go and watch Sponge on the Run, Dear Listener, and you can go and watch Club SpongeBob as well.
Very nice.
So there we go. And we're going to end with a song from Godzilla, actually.
Yes.
We're going to end with Heroes by David Bowie. We've not sure.
We've played a Bowie song before, yes.
We've played a Bowie song before. And this is from Godzilla 1989. The very famous Godzilla. That's a Lot of Fish. Matthew Broderick Godzilla. Yes. Which we can probably do an episode on later.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll do one before we talk about Godzilla vs. Kong.
That makes sense.
That'll be fun. We can both watch that.
Yeah.
So, this was The Real Show with Corey Murray, and we'll be finishing off with Heroes by David Bowie from Godzilla 1998. I think, not 1989, don't know what I said.
Yeah.
Stuff me. But anyway, goodbye, folks. See you soon.
Bye. Though nothing will keep us.